Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Yangezer of Vladimir. So we spent the last 2 weeks speaking about lessons from Rabbi Akiva, given that Rabbi Akiva is closely associated with the time period of Sfiras HaOmer. Today we are 1 week away from Chag HaShavuos, 1 week and a little bit away from Chag HaShavuos. This is our final class before Yom Tov. Next Thursday morning is Erev Chag. We do not meet next Thursday morning. We resume the Thursday, Bezer Hashem, after Yom Tov. So what we are going to talk about today is Sefer Shemos, Perek Yates. We are going to be studying the first aliyah of the first day Torah reading for Shavuos. The Torah reading for Shavuos begins in Shemos, Parshas Yisro, Perek Yud Tes. The first aliyah is Psukim Aleph through Vav, and that is what we are going to be looking at today with explanation and some Rashis and many different insights onto these first six Pesukim. So this is where I will begin. It's an extremely beautiful, beautiful piece of Torah. The whole Torah is very, very beautiful. If you're interested in following along with me in the first six psukim, then you can look inside a chumash, okay? I'm, of course, going to be reading them and translating them and sharing insights with you. So the whole chumash is equally beautiful. This week is Sefer Bamidbar. We have a lot of numbers in Bamidbar, the count of the Shvatim. This is a very beautiful segment of Torah, which we will be reading on Chag HaShavuos. And it is not, we're not up to Yet Aser Sadibros. That begins in Parachof, okay? Parak Yates is the introduction, the arrival of Am Yisrael at the foothills of Har Sinai, and it is the introduction to Torah and the preparation for Matan Torah. So this is how it begins. What's Parshas Yisro Perek Yud Ches? Parshas Yisro Perek Yud Ches is Yisro coming and telling Moshe, you're not doing a good job, you need to set up lower courts. Matan Torah begins in Perek Yud Ches, and that's where Kriyas HaTorah for the Yom Tov begins. So let us look at the first six psukim in Sefer Shemos Perek Yud Ches together. In this Chumash, if you went to get the Chumash to make it easy, it's page 400. Okay? And if you're at home, it's Sefer Shemos, Perek Yates, Psukim Aleph through Vav are the Psukim that we are going to be speaking about today. Such a moving and it's a very, very moving, stirring, beautiful passage. How does Hashem begin the giving of the Torah? What is the first things that he says to Moshe Rabbeinu as he's about to preparing to give us the Torah? B'chodesh HaShlishi, so we know Chodesh HaShlishi is what we call the Torah counts from Nisan, so that is what we call Sivan, Latzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'er Tzotzayim, but when the children of Israel left from the land of Egypt, Bayom Hazeh, on this day, Ba'u Midbar Sinai, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. So they arrive in the wilderness of Sinai. Remember, they left Egypt 6 weeks ago because this is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan. This Shabbos, of course, is Shabbos Mevarachim. We are going to be Mevarach Chodesh. So Rashi says, Bayom Hazeh, again in this Chumash on page 400, Bayom Hazeh. So Rashi says, what's Bayom Hazeh, Ba'u Midbar Sinai? On this day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. What's this day? So Rashi says, B'Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi is telling you the day that the Torah is indicating that they came. They came a few days before Matan Torah. Matan Torah is on Vav Sivan, even though the Gemara is in Mechlokas and Shabbos Pei Vav, if it was Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan, but we hold like the opinion that it was Vav Sivan. So they arrived there on Rosh Chodesh. And then Rashi continues and says, Lo hayat sarich lichtov ela bayam hahu, mahu bayam hazeh. What I'm going to do first is go through the pshat of the psukim with Rashi's. Then we're going to go back to Pasuk Aleph and have insights on the different psukim. Okay, so let's just go through the psukim with the Rashi's. Ma'u bayom hazeh. It should say bayom hahu. It should say on bayom hahu, on this day. What is bayom hazeh? It should say on that day, bayom hahu. Why does it say bayom hazeh on this day? She'ayu d'vei Torah chadashim alacha ki'ilu hayom nitu. So Rashi's quoting Medrash Tanchuma. So Rashi says it shouldn't really say they came on this day. It's not what this day. It's something in the past. The Torah is narrating something that already happened. It should say they came on that day. No, it says they came on this day, bayom hazeh, because Torah should be new to you every day. So if it's this day, it was just given. So if you came to Shir to hear that Rashi, it was worth it. You could say Dayenu, and now you could say Chas V'Shalom. Don't really do that, but hang up the Zoom and go home. Because Torah should be as exciting. I'll be honest. I could teach the same insight 5 times, 10 times, 20 times. I am never bored. No, mamish. It is literally as, have you ever seen it? I am so excited to teach it, even if it's as if it's the first time I'm teaching. And Torah should be so dear to us. Maybe it's boring to you. Maybe you think I heard Michal Horowitz already say this. But it is never boring. It should never be boring. It should be as if it's brand new. It's fresh. I got it right now, this day. Let's go on, Pasuk Beis. Vayisu Mirafidim, they journey from Rafidim, that's where they were. Vayavo Midbar Sinai, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Vayachanu Bamidbar, they camped in the desert. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar. And Israel camped there opposite the mountain. So I think this is one of the more famous Rashi's on Chumash. If you note, it says Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar. It should say Vayachanu. Two words before Vayichan, it says, in fact, Vayachanu. Why? Because you're talking about 2.5 million people. This week is Parshas Bamidbar. We take a census. There are 603,550 Israelites between the ages of 20 to 60, all the seniors, all the juniors, youth, all the females, all the Levim. So there's like 2.5 million people. So what do you mean, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar? And Israel camped there opposite the mountain, Lashon Yachid. So what does it mean? So Rashi says it's very, very, very famous. One of the most famous Rashi's, I think, on Chumash. Ki ish echad b'leiv echad. Why did they camp there by Har Sinai? Like one man with one heart. The second half of Rashi is much less famous. The second half of Rashi is Aval Sha'ar Kol Hachanios, all the other encampments, Betar Umos Uve Machlokas. So right now they were Ki'ish Echad Belev Echad, but all the other encampments were with quarrel and strife. Doesn't bode so well for Am Yisrael, but at this moment we were Bachtas. For those people who are coming in late, what we are doing today is we're looking at the first Aliyah of Kriyas HaTorah for the first day of Shavuos. Given that this is our last class before we break for Chag HaShavuos, next Thursday morning there is no shir. We will be busy getting ready for Yom Tov. We resume Bezer Hashem the Thursday after Chag. We are looking at the first Aliyah for Kriyas HaTorah for Zman Maton Toraseinu. If you just came in, if you took a Chumash, I'm on page 400. We are in Sefer Shemos, Perek Yod Tes Psukim Aleph through Vav is the first Aliyah. Okay, fine. Let's go. So when we go to Shul Bezer Hashem next week and you hear the Kriyas HaTorah, you have some very nice insights into what we are reading. Okay, so that's Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar. Okay, Neged Hahar, Rashi says that the east is called the front. Fine. Umosha Allah El Ha'elokim Vayikre Lav Hashem Min Ahar Lemer Kosomer, also famous, maybe as famous as Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar. And Moshe ascended up to God, and he called him from the mountain, saying, "Kosomer lebeis Yaakov v'taged b'nei Yisrael." This is very famous because the institution of girls' Jewish day schools being called Beis Yaakov is from right here. So you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the house of Israel. So notice that the very first thing that God said to Moshe at Har Sinai is "Kosomer lebeis Yaakov." That's the first utterance of God to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi famously says, Kosomar, Beloshen Hazev Kaseder Hazev. Rashi quoting the Mechilta, say exactly as I'm telling you, exactly in this order. That's first of all. Okay? There's no innovation here. Tarsha Balpa has innovation, but at this point, you need to say everything exactly like I tell you, exactly in this order. What is the Beis Yaakov? Very, very famous. Who doesn't know this Rashi? Everybody knows this Rashi. Elu hanashim. These are the women. Tomar lahem b'loshon raka. Say to them in a soft language. So why is this so famous? The women got the Torah first. Kosomer lebeis Yaakov. We'll be discussing this. V'tageid lebnei Yisrael. And so you should tell the children of Israel. Anashin vidak dukin pereshes harim. The punishments and the fine points of the law explained to the men. Dvarim kashin kagidin. Things that are as harsh as sinew. So to the women, you speak in a soft language. But to the men, you speak in a language they can handle. Tell them the harsh points. Tell them the punishments. Speak in a harsher language. Fine. Pasuk dalet. Three more psukim. Atemri Isim Eshos. So now what does Hashem continue? Remember, you have to tell the B'nai Israel camped at the foothills of Sinai. 2.5 million people are waiting for the greatest revelation that the world literally has ever seen until then, and the world will ever see since then. Maybe until B'yas HaMashiach, I don't know. And now what does Hashem say? Atem Re'isim Asher Asisi the Mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Egypt. What did Hashem do to Egypt? He smote the Egyptians. He decimated them. He destroyed their land and their nation. The Asa Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim. I carried you on the wings of Nisharim. The Avias Chameis. It's a beautiful song. Do some of you know this song? It's so gorgeous. Okay? So I carried you on the wings of Nisharim and I brought you to me. So Rashi says, a famous mashal. What does it mean Hashem takes us like a nesher? First of all, I'm deliberately not translating nesher because I know that art school and many translate it as eagle. about when we were in Eretz Yisrael, going back, wow, summer of 2019 for my boys' bar mitzvah trip, we did many different tiyulim, Baruch Hashem, and what we did was when we were in the north, one of our tiyulim, we learned that Nesher does not actually mean eagle, and I've said this before, Nesher means vulture, so it's a strong bird, it's a bird of prey, yes, both of them are, and so I do not translate Nesher, you could translate it however you want, okay? So Rashi says, what does it mean that I carried you on the wings of Nisharim? What's the mashal? God did not actually carry us on any bird's wings to get from Egypt to Har Sinai. We walked there and the Anani HaKavod protected us, but there was no any kind of bird wing. So what is it? Kinesher HaNosei Gozlav Al Knafav. You know this famous mashal. I'm reading Rashi. Like a nesher that carries the babies where? On its wings, on its back. Shekol she'ar ha'ofos nosin es b'neim ben ragleihim. All other birds put their children between their feet, their chicks between their feet. All other birds are afraid of a bird of prey that will swoop down from above and catch them, so they put their babies to protect them underneath. Aval ha'nesher hazeh einu misyarei. But this nesher is not afraid of other birds. Who is he afraid of? Elamin ha'adam. Shema Yisroch bochet. The nesher is only afraid of what? A man will shoot an arrow into him from the underside. The fisha ain of parech al gabav, just like the Arye is the king of the jungle. So the Nesher is the king, if you will, of birds. And all that he's afraid of is not other animals, but a human being might shoot an arrow into his belly from below. Lakach nosno al knafav. And that is why, how does the Nesher carry his babies? Not underneath. He's afraid of an arrow man, rather above to protect them. Umar mutav yikaneis hachetz bi velo bibini, because the Nesher says, better the arrow should go in me and not in my children. So what is Hashem saying? I carried you with protection. I protected you from the arrows. I protected you from the Egyptians. I protected you from the snakes and scorpions. The Anani HaKavod are my line of protection to protect you. Better the arrow should go in me, kaviyachal, than into you. Okay, Afani Asisi Kane. So too, I did this. I brought the tissues. Where did I put it? I know, but I have one right here. I have. Okay, let's go. Okay. Va'ata, and now, Pasuk Hey. Im shema tishu b'koli, if you will surely listen to my voice, ushmartim esbrisi, and guard my covenant, v'hiisem li segule mikol amim, you will be misugal, you will be a charm, you will be more precious from all the other nations, ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole earth is mine. Rashi says, Pasuk Hey, the Ata. Why and now if you listen to my voice? Just say, Im Shema Tishmu Bakoli. What is the and now if you listen to my voice? Because every word in Chumash is significant. Im Ata Tikablu Aleichem. Remember, they're just starting. They're just getting the Torah now. They're starting a whole new national path. They've never had this before as a bris, Vayikra Chaseper of bris, Vayikra Ba'aznei Ha'ap. Moshe took the book of the covenant, he read it in the ears of the people, and they said, Shemos 24-7, in Mishpatim, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem, Nasa V'Nishman. So they're embarking on a whole new way of life. Im Ata Tikablu Aleichem, Yarav V'Cham Mikan Ve'Elech. If you accept it now, Yarav does not just mean guarantor, Ayin Reish Beis, does not just mean a guarantor, it also means pleasant. Nice, to be nice, pleasant. You say it every day, right at the end of your Shemona Esrei. The last pasuk you say before you take the three steps forward is Va'arva LaHashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yerushalayim Ki Me'olam Uchshanim Kadmonius Va'arva LaHashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. The Mincha of Yehuda and Yerushalayim should be pleasant before God, like it was in days of old. Here too, Yah Rashi uses the word, the root, Ayin Reish Beis, to mean pleasant. If you accept upon yourself now, it will be pleasant from you here and forth. Shakal haschalos kashos. Also, such profound words, pearls of wisdom in these Rashis, in short sayings. Beginnings are hard. Beginnings of anything are hard. Beginnings of changing your way of life are hard. Relationships, maybe. It doesn't have to mean kasha, painful. It doesn't have to mean kashag, get me out of here. It means you have to take time to adjust to the reality of a new situation. People have to learn how to live together. Someone has to learn how to adjust to a rigorous program in school. A person has to learn the ropes at a new job. A person who goes on a diet or a different program, I don't like that word, but a different program of eating has to adjust to a new way of eating. So kol haschalos kashos, beginnings are hard. Rabbi Yochanan knows that. Therefore, ato, now, make yourself used to it now, adjust, accept, because I guarantee you that going forward, it will become pleasant going forward. Think of Rabbi Akiva. We spoke with him the last 2 weeks. When he started to learn Torah, one of the Midrashim tell us it was so difficult, he wanted to give up, but he became the Tana, Rabbi Akiva. How could it be that he wanted to give up and he became the Tana, Rabbi Akiva? Because kol haschalos kashos, the beginning of something is hard, but if you can accept it upon yourself now, yarav lacham, it will become pleasant going forward. Where am I up to? Pasuk hey. Va'atim shema tushmi b'kolu shmartim b'sprisi v'isim l'isugula mikol ha'abim. You will be more misugal than all the other nations. What is sugula? Otzer chaviv. It is a precious treasury. Kli yakar, a precious vessel. A precious vessel. Va'avanim tovos shehamalachim gonzim osam. What is misugal? Misugal is a precious treasury. It is a precious vessel. It is beautiful stones that the king keeps in their treasury. Lahavdil, I'm sorry, but we just had an example of this 2 weeks ago with the crowning. What is he, the third? King Charles the Third? Yes, I'm asking. Yes, King Charles the Third. And the crown he wore, I forget how many hundreds of years old it is, and it weighs, I think I saw 5 pounds, and the only time in his entire life that he will wear it is during the coronation. After that, he never wears it again. The cost of that in monetary value is probably beyond something that we could fathom. And where does it go? It goes wherever they keep the crown jewels that are off limits because they're too expensive. That's what Rashi, that's a mashal that Rashi is actually saying. That's what Rashi's speaking about. A precious vessel, a kli yakar, otzer chaviv, the avanim tovo, shamalachim gol zimozab. That's exactly, actually, not Bahavdo. That's exactly what Rashi is saying. Misugal is something so precious, you keep it in a precious treasury because it's so beloved to you. Klal Yisrael will be so precious to the Ribono Shel Olam. We are in the Otzer Torah, if you will, and we are precious to the Ribono Shel Olam. Kili kol ha'aretz, because the whole earth is mine. Va'atem to you, mamlachas kohanim, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests, v'goy kadosh, and a holy nation. Ela hadvarim asher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael. These are the words that you should speak to the b'nei Yisrael. What is to you, mamlachas kohanim? So Rashi says, sorim, officers, princes, dignitaries, you will be a nation of distinguished people. Ela advarim asher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael, lo pachos v'lo yosir. Not more, not less, and not more. So what should you tell them? You should tell them exactly what I am telling you to tell them, Moshe Rabbeinu. So that is an overview of the psukim from the first Aliyah. And now we are going to go back and hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem, go through insights into each of these psukim. We did the pshat with Rashi, with some commentary. Okay, let us begin in Pasuk Aleph. So now we're going back, okay? So turn back to page 400, Perek Yutas, Pasuk Aleph. I already touched upon the Rashi. B'chodesh ha'shlishi yatzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, in the third month when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, b'yom hazer, on this day, b'al midbar Sinai, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. So I already touched upon the Rashi. I told you could hear that Rashi and then dayenu, go home, but not really. Okay, b'yom hazer. So Rashi says, quickly repeat the Rashi, translate it, ready? V'ohayat sarich lichtov ala bayamahu. Ma'u bayom hazah, shiyu divrei Torah chadashim alecha kilu hayom nithnu. Okay, so what should our approach to Torah be? What should our approach to, Torah and asiyas hamitzvos? It's so easy to become complacent, lackadaisical, bored in Avodas Hashem. Society in which we live is the antithesis of a Torah lifestyle. That's first of all. Before you even talk about your internal Yetzer Hara, the morals and the norms and the attitudes in society of Galus are so anti-Torah values, they do not hold precious anything that our Mesorah cherishes. It is, unfortunately, a great victory for the Yetzer Hara when we practice without thinking, when we don't have passion for Torah and mitzvos, when we don't even believe in what we're doing. And we just do it because society does it, and everyone does it, so I'm going to do it also. I once heard many years ago, I have no idea what the shiur was about. I don't remember what else he was speaking about. I don't remember the context, but I was listening online, Rabbi Shai Shechter was talking about Birkas Habanim on Friday night, when the parent or the father blesses the child. And I remember he said, sometimes you see people giving Birkas Habanim, and I don't know what they're thinking about, but they're not thinking about the bracha they're giving their children. Sometimes it becomes possible that we don't even ourselves necessarily, never mind the Torah was given today. You know, you have something new, you're very excited. But after a little while, even if it's still nice to you, it's just less exciting. That's how the world works. I actually went to my ticha lady yesterday. So I picked up a few new tichas for the spring. So I wanted to wear one today. They're so pretty. But I'm wearing opaques and it's freezing. Not really, but whatever, just for purposes of exaggeration a little bit. So I said, I'll save them when it's a little bit warmer. But when you have something new, it's exciting, and you want to wear it, and you want to enjoy it. And it's not that you don't want it after, but it just becomes boring. It becomes old. When it comes to Torah, you must believe in the life you are living. Embrace, enjoy, rejoice in Torah learning and living. Because that's the only way to keep it by Yom Hazeh, and never mind for yourself. But there is no way, no way. Sometimes it happens, because your child can meet an inspiring Rebbe or teacher. Ben Torah Kilu Yoldo. Ivamo 62, actually, the same place where the Gemara speaks about Rabbi Akiva. So sometimes it happens that a child grows up in an environment where there is not excitement or passion, and they meet somebody or they encounter a certain persona, and that becomes a spiritual father. So I shouldn't say there's no way, but it's very, very, very difficult for our children to find any beauty or excitement in Torah and mitzvos if the parents do not see beauty and excitement in Torah and mitzvos. And actions speak much louder than words. When a piece of jewelry is new, when a car is new, when a tichel is new, when clothing are new, when a home is new, it's very exciting. After a while, it just becomes part of your everyday life. Torah must be brand new, exciting, every single day. I was reading, I'm so behind, but whatever. I'm reading Mishpacha. This is actually just from this past Shabbos. And there was a whole piece, I don't know if you saw, on Rabbi Moshe Sher. Did anyone see it? Did anyone read it? Yes? No? Okay, fine. There was a whole, it's a 25th Yahrzeit. So there's compilation of different submissions by some of his children, a grandson, people who work at the Agoda. He was one of the biggest askanim on behalf of benefiting Klal Yisrael. He worked hand in hand with many of the Gedolim. I just read it last night. It says in the article he wanted to retire from being the chairman of the Agoda at one point because he couldn't pay the bills. So the Agoda, he said he's put in his resignation. He's going to work. I didn't bring this in front of me, but they called him to a meeting, the Agoda, and they said, you have a meeting. He said he didn't know what to expect. But he walks into the room. Rav Aaron Kotler was there. Rav Moshe Feinstein was there. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was there. I forgot the other Gedolim. He says he felt like he walked into the Beis Din Shamala. And they told him, we're sorry. Klal Yisrael needs you. You cannot resign from the Agoda. He ran home and he told his wife, Deb, her name was Devar, we're going back to eating noodles. So he was the co-chairman of Agoda World Organization from 1980 and the chairman of Agoda Israel of America from the 1960s till his death in 1998. And he was responsible for many, many programs and the betterment of Torah Judaism in not only America, but in the world. Okay, This vignette that I read earlier in the week, I think, relates to this idea very much, that if something's beautiful to you, you can pass it on, the Mesorah. Because all of us, you know, Baruch Hashem, each case was a child sitting shiva for an adult child sitting shiva for an elderly parent. But I went to a shiva house on Tuesday, I went to a different shiva house on Wednesday, and I'm going to a third one today. So it should always be that it's the way of the world that the adult children are sitting for on Pnei Vashem Shana. But we are all here. The world is so fleeting. It's just so fleeting. And who stays after us? Our children. And if we want those children to embrace the Mesorah and be excited by Torah, especially in a day and age, well, you know, the kids in Europe, like they had their isms then too. There was Bundism and the Enlightenment, and there was secular Zionism, and there were things that turned them off as well. However, today it's in their hands. You don't need to even go to a meeting in the street. You don't need to, you know, gather in youth groups. I mean, it's literally in the palm all the time. And if Torah needs to, chas v'sham, compete with that, then we need to show them that Torah is exciting and it's beautiful for us every single day that we live a Torah lifestyle. So I'm going to quote, this was the first piece in this compilation of essays, is a tribute to Rabbi Moshe Sher. And it's written by his son, Rabbi Shimshon Sher. And he writes, my father grew up in Williamsburg of the 1920s. When there was no full-time Jewish education, he attended the local public school. There was a Talmud Torah program, I'm going back 100 years ago. There was a Talmud Torah program a few afternoons a week that my father attended. But at some point, his cousin, Mike Tress, also very, very famous in the annals of Jewish history in America, my father's cousin, Mike Tress, approached my mother and informed her that there was a Jewish school that recently opened called Torah Vadas, which she wanted to send her son, Moshe, to Torah Vadas. Mrs. Sher needed little convincing, and young Moshe Sher was enrolled in the fledgling yeshiva. The Menahal of Shraga Feigl Mendelovitz, these are all Zecher Tzadikim Levracha, immediately saw something special in my father. He realized he was going to be a leader in Klal Yisrael. At one point, the mother could no longer pay the tuition. So she went to the school and she picked up her son. She refused to benefit from a yeshiva where she could not pay the tuition, and she took them out. Rav Shraga Feivel saw her leaving. He understood what was happening, and he said, you're not taking them anywhere. One day, this boy will be a leader of the Jewish people. Okay. My father was grateful for his solid Jewish education, but he always wondered about the Talmud Torah class that he had been in. He was one of 25 students, this young Moshe Sher. Why was he the only one to emerge religiously observant? The question bothered him for years. Out of 25 boys, he was the only one who remained from. One morning, when he came to the Aguda office, there was an envelope waiting for him on the desk. In it was a letter that criticized the Aguda for taking a particular stance on a certain political issue. I'm not just telling you a story. I'm then going to get to beautiful Torah Chiddush that I had never seen brought down before. The Rabbi Moshe Sher writes in one of his Sfarim, and I think it's just a tremendous chiddush. I never saw it before. I'm going to share with you soon. My father read the letter, and he saw that the person who signed the letter, he realized the name, it was his Talmud Torah teacher from so many decades before. So he picked up the phone, and he said to the man on the other end, I received your letter. This is Rabbi Moshe Sher, the chairman of the Aguda. I would like to meet with you. The man said, sure. They arranged a meeting. My father walked in. He saw the other fellow. The other fellow was already there. My father, meaning Rabbi Shimshon Sher, is writing this about his father, Zatzal. And he sees the other man is already there without a yarmulke and eating something that looks suspiciously not kosher. My father sat down opposite him. They introduced themselves. And my father said, to tell you the truth, I'm really not here to discuss the Aguda's political viewpoint with you. I'm here to ask you a question. My name is Moshe Sher. Were you my Talmud Torah teacher in the 1920s? The man took a moment to compose himself. I was, he says. My father pressed on. You know, I have another question, but I see you answered it already. The man looked puzzled. I always wondered, says my father, why is it that I was the only kid in my class who remained Orthodox? But now that I see you here, I understand why. When you sang to us the words, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov, did you connect with them? Did you really believe Moshe was the one who gave us the Torah? There was a silence, and the man looked at my father, and he says, why do you ask? Because, said my father, I'm convinced that the reason that 24 out of 25 kids didn't make it is that the teacher who taught them Torah Tzivuvanu Moshe didn't believe it himself. You cannot be a convincing salesman of something you don't believe in. That's why I asked if you believed or not. The man said, no, I didn't believe. It was my job and I needed the money. He felt so guilty that after 2 years, he quit his job. Said Rabbi Sher, I'm so grateful for my mother. Without her, all I would have had was Torah Tzivulanu Moshe taught by someone who didn't believe. But here comes the Torah Chiddush. Rabbi Sher recorded this story in his Sefer, B'shtei Einayim. And he used it to explain one of the great perplexities in the biblical narrative of Noach. We know famously, because Rashi tells us into Parshas Noach, that Noach spent how many years building the Teva? 120 years building the Teva. Why did he spend 120 years building the Teva? Hashem could do whatever he wants. Hashem could have made a Teva come down from Shemayim. Hashem could have put them in a bubble and saved them from the dangers of the flood. Why did he save them why did he make him build a Teva for 120 years? In those days, by the way, you know, if you live 930 years, Adar Rishon, so 120 wasn't like it is today. But what was the point? It was still a significant amount of time. You all know what Rashi says. Why? So that the people would say, what are you doing? And he would say, God is bringing a flood. And he's going to destroy the world so that they would repent. It's Perek Vav Pasuk Yudalit of Bereishis. Harbi Revach Vatzala Lefanav Lama Hitricho Bebinyan Zeh. God has many ways of deliverance and salvation. Why was he Matriach Noach to do this in such a fashion? Kideshi Yaru Anshei Dor HaMabel Osek Ba Kuv Chav Shana. So the people of the generation of the flood would see him involved in this 120 years. V'shoalino So Mazos Lecha. And they would say to him, what are you doing? V'hu Omer Lahem. And he would say, you know, Asira Kosh Baruch Hu Lahavi Ma'bil Olam. In the future, the Almighty is going to bring a deluge to the world. Ula Yeshuvu, maybe they will do Teshuvah. That's one Rashi. Okay? Now we know what happened. Without getting into one of my favorite topics about Moshe being a Gilgal of Noach, otherwise I'm going to keep here for 3 hours, but not going there, what happened? Did anyone do Teshuvah? No, and what happened? The waters come, and including 3 tefachim of earth, besides for the fish, everyone's washed away. We have another Rashi in the beginning of Perek Zayin. Vayava Noach u'banav v'ishto n'shei banav ito al ateva mipnei mehamabel. It's page 32. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. And Noach and his sons and his wife and his daughters-in-law with him went into the ark. Mipnei mehababel. Why do you think they went into the ark? Because it was cloudy that day? Because there were grasshoppers coming from the sky? Of course they went into the ark. Mipnei mehababel. So why does the Torah, which doesn't waste any words, have to say Noach and the family went into the ark? Mipnei mehababel. So what does Rashi say there? Af Noach miktane amana haya. Ma'amin ve'edo ma'amin sheyavo amabel v'lo nichnas l'teva ad shadach kol amayim. Af Noach miktane amana haya. Noach was one of little faith. Ma'amin, he believed. Ve'edo ma'amin, he also didn't believe sheyavo amabel. Sheyavo Mabel, that the Mabel would come. Velo nichnas l'teva, he did not enter the ark. Ad shadach kol amayim. So Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb has a beautiful, beautiful in his Drashot L'Dorot Genesis. He quotes, I forget, was Chassidish Rebbe, different word into that. But here Rabbi Sher offers a chiddush I had never seen or heard before. And it's a second way of interpreting this, and it's beautiful. My father records this story in the Sefer B'shtei Einayim, the story that happened with him and his Talmud Torah teacher. And he uses it to explain one of the great perplexities in the story of Noah and the flood. We are taught that Noah spent 120 years building the ark. I just quoted the Rashi. So people would observe, and they would inquire, and Noah would tell them, there are sins, God's going to destroy you, and they would do teshuvah. As it turns out, this plan failed. 120 years passed, the ark is built, and no one repents. There's no teshuva. Why did the plan not work, proposes Rabbi Moshe Sher. He points out that Rashi later, Perek Zayin Pasuk Zayin, tells us that Noach was a ktane yamana. Ma'amin, the eino ma'amin. On the one hand, he believed. On the other hand, he didn't really believe. He didn't fully believe the mabul would actually materialize. And my father would share the following thought. Who? Noah could not convince others that the mabul was going to come to spur them to do teshuva because he himself did not believe it with total certainty. And if you don't believe something with total certainty, you can't sell it to others. It's a beautiful chiddush. If you can't be, a convincing salesman of something you don't believe in. It's a really, really beautiful chiddush. And therefore, b'chodesh hashlishi that says b'nei Yisrael b'eretz Yitzrayim, it doesn't say b'yom hahu on that day, b'yom hazeh. Because no matter what epoch of history you live in, no matter your generation, which galus, which land, Rachmana Litzlan, Torah has to be new, it has to be fresh, it has to be like the new ticho, the new car, the new piece of jewelry, the new piece of food, the new house. And after a while, life tends to get boring, and we become used to the things that we have, and they become old. But if you keep it new and fresh, it means you believe in the beauty of this item. And only if you believe in it, can you transmit that to your children? Because you can't be a convincing salesman of something that you yourself do not believe in. Very, very powerful. Let's go on. Vayisu mirafidim, vayavo midbar Sinai, vayachanu bamidbar, vayichan sham Yisrael neged hahar. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged hahar, now in Pasuk Beis. And Israel camped there opposite the mountain, Lashon Yachid. We already quoted Rashi, Kish Echad Belev Echad, Aval Kol Sha'ar Echanios, Rachman Alatzan. Since that time, it seems to be our destiny. All the other encampments, Batar Umos, Uvamachlokas, with quarrel and strife. But at this time, we got it right. We had Achdus. And therefore, Vayichan is in Lashon Yachid. So, Heni Machlis, Allah HaShalom, quotes a var from the Varka Rebbe. This is in the Heni Machlis biography. She quotes a var from the Varka Rabbah, Hasidic Rabbah, who points out something beautiful. Vayichan is milashon chen. Yosef had chen. Esther had chen. Chen is like a charm, a certain kind of beauty that you can't actually translate into English. And the Varka Rabbah teaches, what's the prerequisite for Matan Torah? Vayichan, to see the chen in your fellow Jew. To see the beauty in your fellow Jew. To see that that person has a charm, an attraction, an appeal, because they are a child of the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, Vayichan is not only to have Achdus, but how will you have Achdus? If you see the Chein in each other, you will be Ba'achdus, because there won't be any reason for Machlokas. Only if you see the beauty in your another Jew, will you have the prerequisite for Achdus, which is the prerequisite for Torah. So Chein, seeing the Chein in another, is a prerequisite for Achdus with each other, which is a prerequisite for Matan Torah. So I'm going to quote the story that by now is the shot heard around the world, but I'm going to add something to the end. Everyone knows the story already. That on the airplane, I know you all know, everybody knows, about Yosef Tzvi Rimon Shlita, who is a tremendous posek and rav and leader of the Gush, met the leader of Eurovision. I don't think she was the winner. What was she? The third place or something. Okay, fine, everyone knows the story. Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon posted to his family WhatsApp group this story that just happened on the plane. Someone saw it and publicized it. I'm on the plane, and all the screens are in business class, display the following message. Good job, Noah, we're proud of you. So there's this woman sitting next to me, it's business class, the seats are separated, and I say to her, do you know who is this Noah? Why do all the screens say Mazal Tov Noah? So she says, yes, I am Noah. Rav Rimon continues, and he says, you're Noah? What did you do? Why are there signs for you? So she says, here it is, I won third place in Eurovision. So I asked her, what's her last name? She was surprised I could not identify her. And I responded, I am Noah Kirel. Okay, so if all of us who would not have been able to identify her, you're in a good camp. She and her mother then proceeded to tell me about their grandfather, who was a Rav and a Sofer Stam. And Noah said, the morning of Eurovision, she said, Birkat HaShachar, and I don't know if you saw that, and she did not use her phone on Shabbat. She then asked Rabbi Rimon, what do you do? By the way, everyone should just ask themselves, if you were on the plane, which one of these two would you have recognized? Not really, Noah Kirel or Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. She then asked me, what do I do? And I told her, I'm the Rav of Gush Etzion. If you ever have a question, Rav Rimon said, feel free to call me. She got emotional. She asked for my number, and he gave her his cell number and said, if you ever have a shayla, please call me. She took a selfie. Okay, and after she took the selfie, it was apparently posted. And from what I read somewhere else, someone saw the family chat, took a picture of the family chat, and posted it. There's a lot of lessons from this story. Postscript. Rav Rimon sent out a notice explaining this was supposed to stay in the private family group and not be publicized. I think one of the major lessons, which some people might not take from the story, but one of the major lessons is tznius. You don't need to broadcast to the whole world everything someone posts to you. Hold back. Respect these boundaries. Why does it need to be the shot heard around the world? If it's posted in a family chat, just think to yourself, maybe this is supposed to stay in the family chat. And I think that that's maybe a direct lesson. I think you see the compassion and the sensitivity of this gadol. But it's a side point, and this is really what struck me. Rav Rimon sent out a notice explaining it was supposed to stay private, and it did not need to be publicized. A friend of the family saw, which I saw somewhere else, but someone took a screenshot of the family chat and sent it out. And it has gone viral. But Rav Rimon said, why am I bringing this up in Vayichan Sham Yisrael Nagad Hahar, when the Varka Rabbi says, see the chain in your fellow Jew? Rav Rimon says he would have preferred that it would have been private. However, he's okay that it went viral. He would have preferred if his shiurim would go viral. If his post on Mishnah or Halacha or information about Chesed would be viral. But since this went viral, okay. But he stresses, what's the takeaway? So all different people have all different sorts of takeaway. We should all be kind to other people. So if you want stresses, I'd rather you be listening to my shiurim or reading my halachot or picking up a sefer. Let that go viral. But since this went viral, and everyone knows what happened, what's his takeaway? I think a very strong takeaway. I really think it's a big mussar. Just don't forward things. You don't need to tell everybody what happened. Don't forward them. It just happened to me. It's very interesting. I was teaching a class the other night, and someone said to me in the class, she was listening to a shiur from a certain very well-known Rav, and he said something different. So she sent it to me. She said, it's in the first 2 minutes. So I listened to the first 2 minutes, and I heard this idea that I had a question. It was a quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, and I didn't understand why the Amora would say like this. So I happened to have some connection to this Rav, and I WhatsApped him. And I said, I was teaching a class. This question came up. I listened to the first 2 minutes of your shir. I don't understand, and I explained what my shayla was and why I didn't understand. So he wrote back, good question. I need to look it up in the Sefer where I first saw it. So he didn't see it in the Yerushalmi, he saw it in the Sefer. I said, thank you very much, I look forward. So the next night, he sent me a screenshot of the page, of the Sefer. So I read the Sefer, and the Sefer did not answer my question. The Sefer just quotes what he quoted in the Shir. So I said, thank you, there's no answer here. So then we started discussing my question. And we had a little bit of a back and forth, and he sent a voice note, and then I sent a voice note, and he sent me a source from another Sefer, and then we sort of came to what I think is a very nice conclusion and an answer. So I wanted to tell this girl who first told me about the source. I knew she would be very pleased. She is a newcomer to Torah learning and Judaism. I knew she would be very excited. First, I was just going to forward. It would have been much easier to just forward the whole conversation to her. And then I stopped. And I said, I'm not. Because she could forward it to every other chat. This is a conversation between Micha Haaretz and prominent Rabbi X. And it could go everywhere. It was nothing private. It was between me and a Rav. It was about Bilam. And part of his nevuah. But why does everyone need to know that I had a conversation with this Rav? And everyone needs to see what I wrote and what he wrote. And it goes around the world. And listen to my voice note and his voice. It was Torah. But does it need... So I sent her a voice note last night. So I think I have a resolution to our question. She didn't even think of the question. I posed the question to her after. I said, I'm just really too tired now. I will tell you next week when I see you. I'm talking about forwarding the Divrei Torah. But why do I need to forward the Divrei Torah, which invariably is going to be forwarded to somebody else? Micha Haaretz had a conversation with famous Rabbi X, and look whatever. Just stop forwarding things. That's what I think is a major lesson from this story. I really do. Not everything needs to be told to everybody, even if it's innocent. Rabbi Riman and this girl were in a public place. They're on an airplane. They're sitting in two very far seats apart. He's making a Kiddush Hashem, but why does everyone need to know? It's on the person who forwarded it and everyone else who forwarded it. Part of Torah is just snias. Very famous pasuk from Micha, Perek Vav, pasuk Ches, Ma Hashem Elokech Shoel Mimach. What does God want from you? Kim Asos Mishpa Vahavas Chesed Vahatznea Lachas Im Elokecha. We need to be tzniyus, and I did not forward any of the conversation to her. We have to think, but what's the maisa, what's the point? He's okay, he would have preferred if it would be private, but since it already went viral, and he prefers that his shiurim would be viral, or his post on Mishnah, or his post on Halacha, or information about Chesed projects, but since it went viral, he wants to stress, what's the takeaway? Shlita says, Rav Yosef Tzmi Riman, he was in my house when he was... I know somebody, whatever, doesn't matter. The takeaway should be we should all be kind to other people, especially to other Jews, and that we should merit to connect with the nation of Israel with love. That's his takeaway. You want to know what you should learn from this? Be kind to other people, especially to other Jews. We should merit to connect with Am Yisrael ba'ahava, with love. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar ki ish achad. Believe Achad, says the Varka Rebbe, see the chain in your fellow Jew. Says Rav Yosef Tzvi Riman, you have two people from totally opposite ends of the spectrum of Israeli society. One, you have a God of the Torah, a Posek Adar, and the other one, you have someone who performs in Eurovision. But there are two Jews who sat next to each other on a plane, and we have to learn to connect with Am Yisrael Ba'ahava. All right, Pasuk Gimel, Oy Vey. Ayvei, not Ayvei Torah, Ayvei, they were only finished Pasuk Beis. Moshe went up to God, now I have to stop reading the Pesukim in Lashon Torah. Moshe went up to God, God called him from the mountain, Kosomer, the Beis Yaakov, Itageid, the Bnei Yisrael. So you shall say to the Beit Yaakov, Elu Hanashim, Tagid Lahem B'Lashon Raka. Why? Why did the woman get the Torah first? Shmos Rabba, Medrash Shmos Rabba, Parsha Chav Ches, Simon Beis. Lama l'nashim techila. Why did the women get the Torah first? And the Medrash presents a number of different interpretations or explanations as to why it went to the woman first. Shmos Rabba Chav Ches Beis. Lama l'nashim techila. Why give it to the woman first? Shehein mizdaros b'mitzvos. Because they have a certain sense of alacrity when performing commandments. Maybe this never happened to you, but as the woman of the home, sometimes, maybe it never happened to you, but you ask other people in your home to do things, and what is often the answer? Tomorrow, in the morning, I'll get around to it, I'll think about it, wait for me outside. Shehein mizdaros b'mitzvos. The woman has a certain alacrity, you could be yotzei min haklal, it might not happen, but it happens to me. This is what the Medrash says. This is what the Medrash is saying. That a woman has a certain alacrity in the performance of commandments. So therefore, give it to her first, because she will be mizdares everyone in the home in mitzvos. That's a Medrash. Davar achar, another matter. Kidei shiyu manhigos es b'nei in the Torah. So women will guide, manhigos, so that the women will guide their children into the path of Torah. Very often, it happens to be that a child in his formative years especially in the traditional family model. Today it's a little bit different, but it used to be that the woman would be in the home and the child would grow up, at least until they went to Cheder Talmud Torah, and they would grow up with the mother. The mother is the one who is with the child until they were three. Chana brought Shmuel after he was weaned. Avram made a party for Yitzchak. B'yom he gomelas Yitzchak b'no. Moshe was brought to Bas Paro, v'yigdal yal v'yigamal v'tavir l'Bas Paro. Until the child was weaned, which was like 3 months or 6 weeks after maternity leave that some government decided is the right amount of time. So if it was 2 years at least, well, the child was with the mother. So the mother's the first influence on the child, and she is the one who would lead her children to Torah. Very, very interesting. The Maharsha has a beautiful, unique interpretation of Kol Somer LeBeis Yaakov V'Tageid B'nei Yisrael, which ties into this piece of the Medrash. The word Tageid can be translated in the third person feminine. Kol Somer LeBeis Yaakov. So you should tell the woman, V'Tageid, and they, the woman, will tell the B'nei Yisrael. That's the Maharsha into the Gemara and Sota, but where he explains the word Tageid may be translated in the third person feminine, she shall relate. God is saying to Moshe, you say to the woman, the Beis Yaakov, so that she, the Jewish woman, will tell the house of Israel. So the woman has an extremely important role into the transmission of the Mesorah to the child. And it's a very big responsibility, and it's also a very big zechus. Why Bilashon Raka? The way that she speaks to the child, the way that she endears herself to the child, the way she demonstrates Torah and mitzvos to the child. And therefore she got the Torah first. Okay, so far two reasons. Medrash says, why do women get the Torah first? Shehein mizdaros b'mitzvos, one. Two, kadesh u'manhigos has pune in the Torah. Third reason is very interesting. Amar Rabbi Tachlifa di Kesarin, Rabbi Tachlifa of Kesaria said, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, listen to this, Kishabarasi Yasa Olam, when I created the world, Lo Tzivisi Ela Lo Adam HaRishon, who did I tell not to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Only who? Adam. Mikol Eitz Hagan O Tachal Tochal, O Mipri HaEitz Asher B'Soch Hagan Lo Soch, O Mimenu Kibiyam HaChacham, O Mimenu Mos Tamus. We've learned the Mesha Chachma there, but the Mesha Chachma says, the first mitzvah del rice in the Torah is you shall eat. Fine. Who got the mitzvah to eat and not to eat? Adam. Not Isha. So God said, you know, when I created the world, I commanded Adam HaRishon va'achar kach nitztaves Chava, and after he commanded Chava, va'avra, and she transgressed v'kil kalas ha'olam, and she impaired the world. Achshav im eini korei l'nashim techila hein mevatos es ha'Torah. When I created the world, something was lost in translation. Something happened. What happened? I gave it to Adam, and it got messed up. It was broken telephone. I don't know exactly what happened, Kaviyachal, but she didn't hear from me. And look what happened. She ate from the fruit. She gave her husband. Man becomes mortal. Everyone's kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Achshav, im eini korei l'nashim techila, im eini korei l'nashim techila, hei mevatos es ha'Torah. If I don't call the woman first, they'll be mevatel, bitul Torah. They will nullify the Torah. I better make sure that who gets it first this time? The woman. It's almost like a tikkun for what happened the first time God gave a command to the world. L'kach nemar kosomer lebeis Yaakov. Therefore it says, so you shall say to the house of Yaakov. Excuse me. Okay. Three reasons by the Medrash. Why the woman got the Torah first? Shein mizdaros b'mitzvos, she yimanhigos b'nei in the Torah, so they will not be mevato the Torah. I don't want them to hear a third hand from the men. They're going to hear it from me, and it's almost a tikkun for the sin that happened by Bria Sa'olam. Okay, I'm just going to... I didn't know the time. Okay, it is what it is. I just want to clarify something. I heard Rabbi Shai Shechter saying a shir the other week. If my wife was here, she would throw a book at me. And then he kept talking. And then 2 minutes later, he says, everyone calm down. My wife would not throw a book at me. Everything is fine. So I need to clarify. Sometimes we say things to make a point or for exaggeration. Things get done in my house, and the men do them also, And Baruch Hashem, the house is neat, and nobody screams or yells, and we have a place of mutual respect, and ahava, and the garbage gets taken out, so don't worry. Okay? Okay, I needed to clear your flight up because you never know. Chachamim yizhar b'divreichem. Okay, everyone should be yizhar b'divreichem. So that is on Kos Omer l'Beis Yaakov. Why do the women get the Torah first? Going forward in the Pesukim, Pasuk Dalet, Atem re'isam as Asher sisa l'mitzrayim v'asas chamal kamfei nishrayim v'avias cham elai. Okay, we already spoke about the Rashi there. We're not going to go more into that in depth. I want to point out something, that insight that my father-in-law shared with me a number of years ago. That's very beautiful. Look at Pasuk Hey and Vav together. It's an if and then statement. Va'ato and now. What's the if? Im shema tishmu b'koli. If you listen to my voice. Ooh, and ushmartem es brisi. So there's two if statements. Im shema tishmu b'koli, ushmartem es brisi. Good. Pasuk Vav. What's the answer? You will be for me mamlachas kohanim and goy kadosh. So these things match up. Im shema tishmu b'koli, tiyuli mamlachas kohanim. Ushmartem es brisi, tiyuli goy kadosh. So what is v'yisem li segula? Where does that fit? What extra is the Torah adding? There's two if statements in Pasuk Hey, and then two if statements in Pasuk Vav. If you listen to my voice, you will be a mamlachas kohanim. If you guard my covenant, you will be a goy kadosh. What is the middle of Pasuk Hey? V'yisem li segula mikala amim ki li kol arz. Ki li kol arz we're going to talk about in a minute. But where does v'yisem li segula mean fit into Im shema tushmu b'koli, shmartim es brisi, tiyul memechas kohanim v'goy kodesh. Does everyone understand? There's two stanzas, and they line up. The if-then statements line up with each other. But v'yushim l'yisuguli doesn't have a match. It doesn't have a parnu. La'adam lo matzo ezer kenegdo. So what's going on here? So my father-in-law told me something beautiful. V'yushim l'yisugula means, if you want to be a memechas kohanim and goy kodesh, you need to recognize your own worth. It's so fundamental for Avodas Hashem. A person needs to recognize, to paraphrase Rabbi Zev Lev, their own talents, abilities, and capabilities. You need to know that every human being, including you, is misugal. The Rebbe Shalom put you here with a purpose. You can accomplish something that nobody else can accomplish, or you wouldn't be here. The Lubavitcher Rebbe famously said, it's in the book Rebbe by Telushkin. If you didn't read it, I highly recommend. I've recommended it before. Your birthday is the day that God decided the world cannot be without you. The Yisam Li Segula, my father-in-law told me, isn't about Im Shema Tishmu Shmartim Es Brisi. Recognize that you are cherished. Recognize that you are precious. Rabbi Akiva tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, that Klal Yisrael are chavivin Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom. Recognize that you are a child of the Ribono Shel Olam. When you recognize you are misugal, then you will be mamlachas kohanim v'goy kadosh. But if you don't recognize your worth, then you think, why does Hashem want me? Why does the nation need me? What purpose do I have here? The great rabbi, Dr. Abram J. Twersky, tremendous, tremendous, not only physician, but Torah mind, also teacher, writer, 90 Sfar. The great rabbi, Dr. Abram J. Twersky, teaches, we say in Tehillah le David, chapter 145 of Tehillim, you call it Asri, but it's really not, Tehillah David, Lahodia levnei ha'adam gvurasav uchvod hadar malchuso. What is lahodia levnei adam gvurasav? Well, usually it means, let it be known to man how great is God. Uchvod hadar malchuso, the honor of the glory of his kingdom. He offers a different shot. This is somebody who spent his whole life working with people who are recovering addicts and victims of abuse, rachman al-etzlan, and low self-esteem. Lahodia levnei adam gvurasav means, let man know how great he is. Lahodia levnei ha'adam gvurasav. Only then, uchvod hadar malchuso, can you accept the sovereignty of the kingdom of God upon yourself. God gave you a mission. You have to know what that is. You have to know who you are. You have to know how great you are. I know the other pocket is anochi ofer ve'efra. I know. But right now we're talking about the first pocket, which is vishvili nivra ha'olam. So va'atim shema tishmu b'kol yishmartim isprisi goes beautifully with Pasuk Vav. To you the mamlachas konim v'goy kadosh. What's v'yisam li segula? It doesn't fit. It does fit. to get from one, the first stage, to the next stage, the im to then, the if to then, you have to know your mesugal. And also, it's so important to teach your children or your students. Every child must know how important they are, how unique they are. They have their own talents and abilities and capabilities, their own personality, their own hopes, dreams, longings, whatever it is, how Hashem made them, they're unique. They have to know they are Misugal. I don't mean to go back to social media, I apologize. But in the day and age where everything is a competition, to outdo the next person, to up the next person, never mind it's hard for adults to have self-esteem. It's very hard for kids to have self-esteem. Look at the coat that one wears. Why is my from Costco? Look at the vacation that one takes. Why did I only go to the American Dream Mall? Look how many cars that family has. Why do I have this? Etc., etc. Yisham li segula. Every person has to know how misugal they are before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Akiva says, Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yudalet. Ashreich, no, that's Yuma. Ches Amitas. You have to recognize that you are Misugal. You have to recognize you're a child of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to know your talents, abilities, and capabilities. Only then will you be able to be successful as Mamlachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. A person who thinks there are nothing in a Shmata is going to have a very hard time serving Hashem. Why? Because the Yetzirah now tells you he doesn't want your mitzvos. He doesn't want your davening. Your Torah learning is worthless. Just stop performing because Hashem doesn't want you anyway. Only if you value yourself, the life, the neshama, the capabilities, gvurasov that God gave you, and you think you have worth before the Ribbono Shel Olam. And finally, ki li kol ha'aretz. That was on Pesukim Hey and Vav. Pesuk Hey ends with these strange words, ki li kol ha'aretz. What's that doing here? Why are you telling me ki li kol ha'aretz in the middle of telling me about Matan Torah? The great Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. When God reveals himself, I'm quoting from the Sefer, the Rav allowed on the Parsha Sefer Bereishis. One paragraph from a very long essay. When God reveals himself to Moses, and he tells him he should prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, we're in the final week of preparation, for receiving the law. He told him, you should be unto me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation, which is what we're talking about. And God says, ki li kol ha'aretz. The whole earth is mine. What's that got to do with the election of the Jewish people as a priestly nation? This was a shiur that the Rav gave in 1973, before I was born. Torah is ki heim chayenu v'orach yameinu. What does ki li kol ha'aretz have to do with Matan Torah? And have to do with Mamlachas Kohanim and Goy Kadosh. What is ki li kol ha'aretz? What does this have to do with the election of the Jewish people as a holy nation, as a priestly kingdom? The Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, we're coming up to the summer, we go away, we take vacations, it's beach season. That's not what the Rav said in 1973. Maybe he did, but not in this year. I am electing you as a priestly nation. Ki li kol ha'aretz. Not only is the covenant binding at Har Sinai, not only is it binding in the promised land to where you are going, but wherever you will be, even on the moon, even on Mars, I'm quoting, that's where the covenant with God is binding. Ki li kol ha'aretz. The universe is mine. Physically mine. The covenant is binding, not only at Har Sinai, not only in the promised land to where you are going, but wherever you will be, even on the moon, even on Mars, it doesn't matter. Where must you keep the Torah? Ki li kol ha'aretz. So I wish everybody a beautiful Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we will meet again in 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Good Yom Tov. Thank you to all. Kol, and good Shabbos. And Chodesh Tov. Thank you.